the thing that gives me great hope, though, folks, George and folks listening in, is we do live in a country that's incredibly adaptive, that's incredibly resilient, and has faced adversity before. And in these times of crisis, as I write in The Great Reset, and what people forget, these were the most innovative times. This is the time when, in the 1880s, when the light bulb and the phonograph and then the telephone and then the electric power grid and modern and the modern telephone system and modern cable cars and street rails and subways were invented. This was the time in the 1930s with a great historian, Alexander Field, has documented the most innovative decade of the 20th century was not the high-tech 90s or 2000s. It was the 1930s, the single most innovative decade of our time. So it's a time when we can dig deep and reinvent and rebuild and what I say, the word reset. But boy, oh boy, it looks to me that we're a little bit complacent. Maybe we've taken our eye off the ball, but we have to get back to basics. It's not a bailout or a stimulus plan that's going to get us there. It's a new innovation, new ways of living and working that are going to power our next recovery, and we've got to get back to the basics. We know this. We know it's the real economy that makes us rich. We know it's building up real wealth and real productivity and innovation that moves us forward. We know that this is not done in the crazy world of the financial markets. We just have to get back to doing it.
You talk about the previous resets as well. So give me the definition. What is the Great Reset?
Well, the Great Reset, and I took it from the words of when the markets crashed, the CEO of General Electric, Jeff Immelt, he said to him immediately, this is not a typical business cycle. This is not a typical recession. This is a reset. And he went on to say, it's not just an economic reset. It's a raw emotional reset. Those who understand that will succeed and prosper. Those who don't will fall by the wayside. And these resets are the great economic periods of economic crisis and renewal that come around every two generations.
Are they healthy?
They are, well, they are the cure for the symptomatic disease of debt and leverage and financial bubbles. There's no other way out. What they do is in the first phase, we get a terrible financial implosion, a bubble burst, that's in 1873 or in 1929. And typically, it's a combination of a stock market Wall Street bubble and a real estate bubble. And then jobs are annihilated. And the country falls into what we used to call a panic. Then we invented the word depression because we thought panic or crisis sounded too extreme. Now we don't even like depression. We have to call it a great recession. So, but then what happens is a lot of innovation and entrepreneurship that had been on hold because the bubble was sucking up so much capital and so much work and so much attention, diverting money that could go to technological innovation into stock trading or into real estate inflation. Mm-hmm. That capital, although it may be meager, starts to go to work, and smart people who have been put out of work in factories or services begin to go to work to build something new. This is these are the eras of Thomas Edison and Alexander Graham Bell and other great inventors, and the era of entrepreneur inventors and system builders. And then finally we begin to get to work in our country at building new infrastructure, whether that's telephone systems or electric power grids or cable cars and subways or the great interstate highway system.
Yeah.
And then as that happens, we begin to invent a whole new way of life. A whole new way of living. And in the first reset,
which we haven't done yet in this reset.
In the first reset, think about how big this shift was. And this is what's so mind-boggling. When we went into the first reset, the first great reset in the 1870s and 80s, we were a country of farmers. 60 or 70% of Americans lived in or around farms. We came out of that reset with the rise of the great industrial cities, not just New York and Chicago, but Buffalo and Cleveland, St. Louis, Pittsburgh and Detroit, were born and grew exponentially. We came out of that reset as an urban industrial nation with an urban working class beginning to consume the products coming out of the factories. We went into the second reset, a urban nation of tenements, immigrant ghettos where my parents lived, and came out of that a suburban nation, growing through highway systems and roadway systems and new power and sewer and water systems, growing into the great nation of the American dream, suburban home ownership. And what was so important about that time is, well, people put money down and they lived within their means and they bought their house like my mom and dad did. But that house, they had to fill it with a car or two, with refrigerators and television sets and appliances, washer dryers.
And they paid cash. Cash for everything.
And it grew the economy because it stoked the fire of the assembly line. And that's what the book The Great Reset says. We're in the third Great Reset. We're going to invent a new way of living and working that makes the old industrial city and the suburbs we grew up in look like a walk in the park. We're going to have to invent a whole new way of life, which is bigger and grander and more expansive, but less materialistic and consumeristic, more real, more about leading a fulfilled life than we've ever seen. So the changes we're going to witness over the next decade or two in the way we live are going to be of a magnitude that we can't imagine. And until we do that, until we start reinventing the way we live and work, we don't get out of this. The government stimulus and spending and bailouts can't get us out of it. It didn't get us out of us in the past. It was only the rise of suburbia and a new way of life that did it. We have to do it again.